Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I'll see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He has for me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. I was not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God, they have a test that they must face. It's here that God will mold you and make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Now I'm standing on the mountain, looking back I can see. When I was in that lowest valley, His strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's good to see the sunshine and to taste sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing. Oh, the grace He gives to me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see.
Amen, amen, amen. Let's praise God this morning. So good to be with y'all this morning. I just... excited about the message and excited what God's doing in each and every one of our lives. I know there are a lot of situations going on right now and how much we miss each and every one of you. We thank you for joining in with our live feed this morning or if you watch it from a later date. But you know, as that song says, you know, God will turn this into His way, His blessings that He'll put on each and every one of us. But again, just good to have you with us this morning, whether you're watching now or at a later time. I just want to say thank y'all for your prayers while Miss Elaine and I were on vacation and had an opportunity to turn a wedding into a vacation while we were up in Virginia and North Carolina. And it was really neat to be able to tune in live and watch our services this week while we were traveling. And again, I know how much it means to each and every one of us, whether we're away by design or through, whether it be for no reason of our own, dear Lord, whether it be through sickness or just quarantining or whatever the needs are. We just want to lift each and every one of you up in prayer this morning. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And I know people kind of snickered at me when we were doing the live feeds completely before. And when I said, if you got a prayer request, just show by raising of your hand. But you know, in my heart, it's acknowledging to God how great He is and that our willingness just to stop everything that's distracting us and just to acknowledge Him. So however you feel led, I'm going to raise my hand. I do have prayer requests this morning, and I know there are many needs in our church. There's too many to speak right now, but through our text blasts that go out, through the texts that come in, and also if you have a prayer request, put it on Facebook. Put it at the bottom there. Whether you're watching this even at a later date, we do follow those comments, and we will gladly pray with you. We are a praying church, and right now as we open up this service, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to ask you to join in with me as we go to prayer this morning. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, dear Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we praise you. We lift you up, dear Lord, how great thou art. Dear Lord, as we come humbly to you this morning in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you, dear Lord, and just love and praise you. Dear Lord, we ask that you'll just accept this prayer, dear Lord, our thoughts going to you, dear Lord, as we just honor you. Dear Lord, now as we come to you for this service, we ask for you to strengthen the word, dear Lord. Open up our hearts, our minds, and our ear, dear Lord. Not only that we'll hear your word, dear Lord, that we'll just be placed forever in our heart and our mind. Dear Lord, we're seeking you this morning as we do always, dear Lord. And dear Lord, we just want to be tuned to you. Dear Lord, for all the prayer requests that we have, those that are being typed in now in the comment sections, those that have come out on our text blast, dear Lord, those that are sick and shut in, for whatever reason, dear Lord, we're placing them in your hands. Lord, we know you're already healing. We know you're already with us at all times, dear Lord, but we're asking you to turn the storms, these situations in our life, dear Lord, these situations that's going on in our country, in our world right now, dear Lord, and we're going to place them in your hands and let you turn them into a blessing. Lord, let you strengthen us as we go forward. Lord, again, we thank you, dear Lord, for everyone watching. Dear Lord, may they feel your presence. And dear Lord, again, as your word is read, dear Lord, as your word is spoken, dear Lord, may it go forth, dear Lord, to edify you and you alone. Lord, we ask now that you'll just bless our pastor and his family as they go forth with your message this morning. Dear Lord, please accept every song sung, every instrument played. Dear Lord, just to worship you. Again, dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us this opportunity, this freedom, dear Lord, to come to you in your word alone, dear Lord. May your word be placed in our heart. Lord, may we just, I just feel we just need to praise you this morning and lift you up. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers, hearing our cries and our needs. And dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. 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 Just praise the Lord. We're going to turn it over to Sister Jennifer now. And Miss Penny, whatever y'all got set up already, just praise the Lord. Just enjoy the service this morning. Just worship with us.
It's me again, Lord.
Troubles come and I can't find an answer. I have no other friend that I can turn to. So here I am, Lord, down upon my knees. It's me again, Lord. I've got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again, Lord. I've got a problem I can't solve. Now I don't mean to worry you. Here I am facing something new, and I need help that only comes from you. I know you're kind of busy in your heaven, building worlds and hanging stars to shine. But you promised if I'd ask, I would receive it. So here I am, Lord, asking one more time. Lord, I've got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again, Lord. I've got a problem I can't solve. comes from you. And I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord.
Well, I can. Praise the Lord. If you could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough to reach the sky above. If you could know until you've known God and His love, until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known the love of God. If in your lifetime you could meet everybody and you could call every name from here to yon, Jesus and His saving grace, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. Until you've known the love of God.
Amen. Thank God for His love. Amen. Truly, we are the recipients of God's amazing grace and His overwhelming abundance of love. Good to be here this morning. Hope each and every one of you is doing fine as we're live streaming today. Hope that you're doing well. For those who are still battling, our prayers and our thoughts are going with you this morning. We're believing in a mighty God who's able to do all that we ask. And the Bible says even those things that we can't even think of, God is able to do. So our thoughts and prayers are with you this morning. Just gather around the live stream there. Bring your family in, and let's just worship the Lord and praise Him this morning. We're going to try to do a song, if we can, this morning in the key of E-flat. How many knows we'll be all right
when we touch Calvary.
Friend, don't worry about this heavy load I carry. And don't be concerned if it sends me to my knees. For I know a place where all my load will lighten. I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. If my feeble hands of flesh could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, if you slip his nail-scarred hands into my hand, I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. Very soon now, I'll reach the hill of Golgotha. I'll touch the cross that was fashioned from a tree. And if one precious drop of his blood touches me, I'll be all right now that I've touched Calvary. If my feeble hands of faith could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, if you slip his nail-scarred hands into my hand, I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. If you slip his nail-scarred hands into my hand, I'll be all right now that I've touched Calvary.
Amen and amen. Thank God for Calvary. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross of Calvary so that our sins could be remitted. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We appreciate those of you that are tuning in, and our thoughts and prayers, as I said earlier, go out to each and every one of you. Hope you're just having a wonderful day. Join with me to remember those this morning who are sick. Many are sick of our congregation, and certainly we miss them tremendously. We miss you. Hopefully it won't be long. We'll be having corporate service again. And I never, ever again want to take corporate worship service for granted. I want to understand and know what a privilege it is to come into the house of the Lord, to gather together. As the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, not just to come and be seen, but to come and pray one for another. And I hope there in your home, if you're there in your living room, that you are praying for God to move mightily today. If you have your Bibles there and you want to go along with us, we're going to the book of 2 Kings this morning, into the 6th chapter of the book of 2 Kings. The story of Elisha here, a wonderful man of God, a wonderful prophet of God. This is where the Lord took me this week as I began to ask and seek for God's guidance. So again, we're reading in the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 7 of 2 Kings. The writing of the Bible says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us, or too small. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with him, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, what a privilege and an honor it is to come before your presence this morning. Father, we ask for your divine guidance. I ask, Lord, that you would now anoint these lips of clay. God, anoint my spirit, God, to be nothing more than a vessel and an oracle that you would speak to us this morning. God, that we might hear. God, let us take it to heart and be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And Father, again, we do pray a very special prayer of healing on behalf of those who are suffering today, those who are sick and afflicted. We ask, Lord, that you would reach out right now with your anointing power and touch and strengthen and comfort them. And Father, we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, for a little while, I want to bring a message entitled, Take Up Your Miracle. Not aware or not real sure if the world still believes in miracles today, but I do, as a Bible reader, believe that miracles are still being performed today. I don't think the miracles quit when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. I still read that with his stripes we are healed, and I adhere to that, I preach that, and I encourage that. But I believe that we have more miracles than just healing, and every healing is a miracle, whether it be the calming of a headache, amen, or the remission of cancerous cells that we know and have heard testimonies of where God's mighty hand came in and touched folks. I believe in miracles. The Bible itself is full of miracles, and I want to touch on one this morning that leads into other miracles. I believe that many, many times some of the things that we call coincidence, some of the things that we call chance or luck, whatever the world may refer to those, are in fact miracles from God. Many, many times we think because the sky hadn't split or some great noise hadn't happened that God is not performing miracles. But each and every day that my feet hit the floor is in fact a miracle from God. Because I read where the breath that I have is on loan from God, and I'm thankful for every day that he gives me. Every time I travel on one of the interstates, I thank God for his safekeeping. Many people do not reach their destination because of some tragedy or something, but I believe that God protects and keeps his people. But this morning we find that, basically go into just a little bit of history, the sons of the prophet were those that were under the tutelage and guidance of the prophet Elisha. If you remember, Elisha himself was once under the mentorship of Elijah, the prophet before Elisha. So Elisha was basically running, for lack of a better term, a little school there for the sons of the prophet. And because of its notoriety, because of the mighty hand of God working through the prophet of Elisha and the many miracles that God performed, the sons of the prophet begin to grow. They begin to multiply. They begin to outgrow the facility that they were in. So some of them got together and said, we need to build a bigger house, a bigger place. And why don't we build it a little bit closer to the Jordan River, a little bit closer, amen, to the promised land or the Canaan land. So they went to the prophet and Elisha said, sure, go ahead. But the servant said, well, we need you to go with us, basically is what they're saying. And Elisha said, that's fine, he'll go with them. So they're going and we find that they're cutting down beams or trees. Now, the Bible tells us, or Bible history tells us, that the trees around the Jordan River were not very big, so they were, in fact, able to cut those down with just an axe. Now, I want you to understand, during this day and hour, iron was very precious, and it was costly. So, one of the sons of the prophet had borrowed an axe, or an axe head, from somebody. The Bible doesn't tell us who it was, but he borrowed it, and he was felling beams or cutting trees, and as he was, the axe head flew off and went into the Jordan River. So he begins to panic. He begins to, the Bible says he cried, Alas, my master, what has happened? You know, well, while I was felling the tree, the axe head went into the water. Now listen what Elisha says. Elisha very calmly asked him, where did it fall? Or where fell it? So the sons of the prophet, the one that specifically lost the iron, he goes and points to the place where the axe head went into the water. And Elisha, I understand, Elisha very coolly and calmly doesn't panic, goes over, cuts a stick, throws it into the water, and the Bible says that the axe began to swim, or the axe head began to swim. Now this is what I want us to take note of. Elisha did not pick up the axe head. He could have. He cut the stick, he threw it into the water, the axe head began to swim. What a miracle. Some say, well, it's just a minor miracle. Listen, there is no such thing as a minor miracle. Everything God does is exquisite. Everything God does is immaculate. So he tells him, this is what I want us to understand. Elisha said, take it up to thee. In other words, pick up your miracle. Take up your miracle. You know, you may think that God is not aware, or God is not concerned, or God doesn't care about the little things in your life. But understand, this servant was very panicky. He knew that it was a costly loss, and he knew that he had borrowed it, and it meant a lot to him. Many, many times, the things that we beckon and ask God for, sometimes we think that God doesn't care. He's sitting up on a throne somewhere, and he doesn't care about the little everyday things that we go through. But I will assure you that if God cared enough about this world to send his only begotten Son to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary, he's concerned about everything that you're concerned about. He wants to help you, he wants to lead you, and he wants to guide you, and he wants to help you through these situations that we encounter. So God performed a miracle for Elisha. Now understand, look at the difference. It was so astonishing to the one of the servants of Elisha, one of the sons of God, but Elisha just took it as commonplace. And I began to say, Lord, help me to rely on you. Help me to be cool, calm, and collected through the adversity that I face, through the obstacle that is staring me in the face, through the mountain of fear and doubt that I must climb. Help me to remain cool. Help me to remain calm and put my faith and trust in a never-failing God. We say that so often, but understand, he is batting 1,000. He has never failed. He has never not been there for us, and he's not going to continue, amen, or he's not going to start now by turning his back on us when we simply need him so greatly in this world that we're facing. So I want to bring with us this morning, there's basically three steps here that we can apply to our life when we're praying for a move of God or a miracle. Three things that we can do. First of all, we read over it very quickly, but let's go back to how this all started. The sons of the prophet said, you know what, we need a bigger space. We got more people coming in. We need a larger area. Can I ask us this morning to continue to, as we seek and reverence God, can we possibly think about expanding our space? You say, what, you build a bigger church, brother? Well, if that's the case, then certainly. Outreach, sure. We always need to be searching for souls for the kingdom of God. But I want to bring it on a personal level if I can. How many would agree with me that sometimes we need to increase our spiritual space with God? I would dare say that over the years, many of us have allowed our space with God to become cramped. We have allowed other things to infiltrate our walk with God, our association with the Lord. It's not because that we've lost sight of God. It's not because that we don't have faith. It's not because that we don't love God with our whole heart. We've just allowed other things, amen, to cramp our space. How many knows that when you get a lot of things around you, it begins to affect your ability to move around? I do not want to come into a service of God and allow things that have come into my life to cramp my worship and praise. I want to feel liberty. I want to feel the freedom. I want to feel the wonderful presence of God. And I want to lay aside every weight and every doubt and every sin that does so easily beset me when I come into the spiritual sanctuary with God. I want to give him my full attention. I want to glorify him and praise him with everything that is within me. And if I'm cramped in my space, may not have the freedom to glorify and praise God. What things would cramp us? Things of this world. Worry, doubt, fear. All of these things that come into our mind. If you have that, first thing you need to do is say, Lord, get this off of my heart. Get this off of my mind. Lord, I want a clear channel. I want to focus on you and you alone this morning. And I will assure you that God will be there for us. So the children here, the servants, the sons of the prophet said, you know what? We're too cramped.
We need to expand our space. Think about that this morning. If you want to get closer to the Lord, expand your spiritual space. How do you do that? With prayer, with fasting, with reading and studying the Word of God. I hope that the only time that we don't seek God is just when we're in the four walls of the church. Amen. If that is the case, you're missing out on a lot of wonderful opportunities to glorify and praise God. You need to have church in your house. You need to have church where you work. How can you do that? Let me tell you something, folks. They may take the Ten Commandments off the wall, but they could never take them out of my heart. Amen. I want to seek a time and opportunity every day to have service with the Lord because I need that attention from God. I need that time. So expand your space. Expand your spiritual space. Make room for Christ in your life. Secondly, unleash your faith. Now, the Bible tells us that every man or woman has a measure of faith. A measure of faith. That means that we have an amount. What are we going to do with that faith? Every person has a muscle. Muscles in your body. What are you going to do with those muscles? The Bible says, exercise your faith. As you exercise those muscles, as you exercise yourself, as you do those things that are helpful and beneficial to the body, also do those things that are helpful and beneficial to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Exercise your faith. Look for an opportunity to put your faith and trust in God. Know that when He answers that prayer, knows when He answers and gives you that miracle, glorify and praise Him. So unleash that faith that you have. I've heard people say, Brother Eddie, would you pray that God would increase my faith? And sometimes I want to say, have you used what He has given you? Have you exercised that He has already equipped us with? And I will assure you, the more you exercise the faith, the stronger your faith will be. So unleash it. Let it go. Let that full power of that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ strengthen your faith and enlighten you with God's greatness and His blessings. Thirdly, this morning, the art of listening. Listen and obey the Word of God. Now, the sons of the prophet had a great idea. But you know what? I believe Elisha heard from God. Had it not been God's will, I believe the prophet would have said, no, we're fine right where we are. But I believe that God had already led Elisha because as the things begin to happen, we understand and know that God had a reason for the sons of God and for Elisha to move their location to a different place. Because God was about to do a great and mighty miracle. If we can't trust God for the little things, how are we going to have faith to trust Him for the big things? So as God does these things in our life, let it increase our faith and our dependency on God. So when the big problems, the big trials come, we'll be more than ready to face those battles through the power of God. How many knows that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us? Amen. That's a blessing and a promise of God. So listen and obey the Word of God. When we hear from God, don't only be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word as well. And let me tell you, just immediately after this wonderful experience, and that's what it was. Imagine, if you would, the sons of the prophet watching God perform a miracle right there and make an iron swim. And then the prophet, this is so important, said, you take it up. Many of us are looking for an evangelist to do it, or are looking for a pastor to do it, or looking for a mentor to do it. But when God does something, you take that miracle. You take that blessing. You take that anointing. And you say, here, devil, you understand that God has blessed me. God has made a way. I'm putting my faith and trust in Him, and I'm calling it exactly what it is, a miracle. So they were overwhelmed and just astonished with this wonderful thing. But Elisha says, you take it up. Take up your miracle. And if I'm speaking to anybody this morning, God has done something for you, don't let Satan come in and rob you of your victory. Don't let him take back what God has already given you. Every foot, every place that you step your foot is what he told Joshua, I will give you. But it's up to us to make that step. It's up to us to reach down and pick up and take up that miracle and apply it to our lives and say, thank you, Lord, for making a way. Sometimes we have to praise Him before we ever see the effects of it. But that's called faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes we don't see it, but by faith we call it done anyway. So, as so often the case, when God does something in our life, the adversary comes and tries to sow doubt, tries to sow fear, tries to make us think, that really didn't happen, that really wasn't a blessing of God, that was going to happen anyway, that's just coincidence, that's just luck. Don't listen to the adversary. Don't buy what he's selling. Let me tell you something. If God made a way, I'm going to claim it, I'm going to testify about it, and I'm going to give him praise and honor and glory. So as often the case is, just after this great little miracle that God performed, the Bible immediately says, and Syria made war against Israel. It goes right into that. It almost changes gear, changes directions just completely around, because it's talking about the sons of the prophet going to expand their place, going to build, going to have more people coming in, and Elisha is going to be responsible for teaching other prophets to go out and spread the gospel. And immediately, the Bible says in verse number 8, the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, and such a place shall be my camp. So God speaks to Elisha. And Elisha, the man of God, is made aware of where the king of Syria and his troops are going to encamp. You say, well, Brother Eddie, what's that? A history lesson, a geography lesson, a lesson of military? No. It means that God, if we will listen, if we will expand our space, if we will put and unleash our faith, God will tell us where the enemy is. I hope some of you get that this morning. I hope some of you understand, because we're so afraid that Satan's going to come out of nowhere and bombard us. He's going to attack us. And certainly that's what he's going to try to do, because as a roaring lion, he's seeking whom he may devour. But I believe when we unleash our faith, I believe when we expand our spiritual space, I believe when we hear and listen from God and obey his word, God will speak to us and let us know where the enemy lies in wait. So Elisha sends a letter to the king of Israel and said, don't go to this place, because that's where the Syrian troops are. Not once, not twice, but on several occasions, God begins to speak to Elisha. He goes to the king of Israel or sends word, say, don't go to that place. That's where the enemy is. So the king of Syria, he's just perplexed. Can't understand it. He blames one of his people, his own people. He said, who is for the king of Israel? Somebody's going and telling him, or telling the king of Israel, exactly where we're going to be and when we're going to be there. So he's very distraught. Somebody says, oh, it's not us. Nobody is a traitor. He said, it's that old Elisha. It's that old prophet, that old man of God. God tells him and speaks to him. Makes the king of Syria very mad. So he says, I want chariots and I want armor and I want men to go and I want them to seize Elisha and bring him back to me. You know, the Bible says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Glory to God. How many is thankful for the protecting power of God? The devil, I know, is after you, but God's power is greater around you. I believe that he can place a hedge around Job. He can place a hedge around us, because he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't love Job any more than he loves you and me. So we need to count on that protecting power of God. So here they come. The army of Syria. The chariots and the horses and the men. One of the sons of the prophet. Don't know. The Bible does not explicitly say. Wonder if it could have been the same one that just lost the iron. I don't know. Hypothetically, could be. Could have been one of the others. But again, it shows sometimes when we see this enemy coming, our faith weakens a little bit. So he walks out and he sees this great host of the Syrian troops encamped round about the city. And what does he do? He cries to the prophet. Alas, look what's happening. But what does Elijah do? Listen, if Elijah prayed and God made iron swim, don't you know and don't you understand and realize that God will still be with us when the host of the enemy is camped around about us and all we see is fear, all we see is danger, all we see is disasters in the world? But understand and know, if we'll just open up our spiritual eyes, we're going to see something greater than any enemy that's going to ever come against us. Why did the Bible talk about the iron? Why did he put that little story in there? I believe because sometimes in order to have have our big faith, we have to exercise that small amount of faith that we have so that it will grow when those larger problems come. So Elisha says, go look again. I want to ask you this morning, did you get fearful when the first time you saw this situation? Or did you pray about it and then look again? I'm encouraging you to pray. Ask the will of God. Seek His guidance. Seek His power. And they're going to look at that problem again and say, you know what? There's nothing too big for God. I truly believe that. I preach that, that there's nothing too big for God. I didn't say it was too big for me. There's a lot of things that's too big for me. There's a lot of things that I can't handle. But you know what? I found that I have a power. I have a resource. Amen. And that source of power is my God and my relationship with Him. So Elisha says, look again. This time when he looked, he saw a host, a heavenly host, with fire. Listen what he said. Let me find it here. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. When we exercise our faith, the enemy may not see it. People that you communicate with may not see it. But I believe with all of my heart that God protects His children. God protects His loved ones. And I'm asking us this morning, if you see nothing but doubt, if you see nothing but confusion, if you see nothing but fear in the world, please pray and look again and know that God has a host of angels encamped round about us to protect us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Because God loves us just that much. So then the servant looks again and he sees that host, that heavenly host, that God's angels are protecting him. And then a wonderful thing happens. They come in. And as they come in, God moves on Elisha, and Elisha prays, Lord, let them be blind. Strike them with blindness. God answers the prayer of Elisha. They march up to his house, and listen, this is when Elisha gets a little bit of mischievousness in him. Amen. How many knows that I don't have any compassion whatsoever for the enemy? I do not want to allow him a little. I don't care if he comes dressed as an angel of light. I still want the discerning power of God to understand and know that he is the enemy and he's out for no good. He's trying to wreck my life. He's trying to steal my victory. And I'm not going to have any compassion or passion for him in the least, because I'm going to treat him as just exactly what he is. He is an enemy. So Elisha, after he prays for blindness, and they strike the Syrian army with blindness, those that came, and then he basically says, Lord, here's what we're going to do. So they come and he says, you know, this is not the place that you're supposed to be. And this is not the man that you seek. He said, but if you'll follow me, I'll lead you to where you need to go, and I'll take you exactly where you need to be. Now, we may not think a whole lot about that, but the Lord kind of laid something on my heart. During the week, if Satan comes to me, and I mean, he's all over me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to take this enemy to right in the midst of my saints and those praying folks. I'm going to bring him to church with me. Glory to God. Some of you may not realize. You're going to do what? Yeah, I'm going to come into the church with that burden, with that problem, with that situation, whatever the devil has coming against me. I'm going to bring him right into the midst of the power of God, because I know that I'm no match for Satan, but I know that he that is within me is stronger and greater and mightier than he that comes against me. So Elisha says, you know what, being just a little deceitful here, but I'm not the one you're wanting, but I'm going to take you and lead you to the one you wanted. So they follow him. Isn't this amazing? All this started from a little piece of iron that was floating in the river of Jordan. You might say, that's such a little thing. Yeah, but God's getting ready to do bigger and greater and mightier works in your life. If we can believe him for the little things, we can certainly trust him for the big things in our life. So they follow Elisha. And Elisha leads them right into the midst of the Israeli army. Right into the midst of Samaria there where the king is. And then he says, Lord, open their eyes. Amen. So the eyes of the enemy are open and they see that they're completely surrounded by the army of Israel. Now watch what the, if you read this story, then the king of Israel comes to Elisha the prophet and he says, my Lord, what will we do? Shall we slay them? And Elisha says, no. If you were fighting in an army and you'd captured folks by the sword and you'd already defeated them, you would not kill them. You would bring them in as servants or whatever. He said, here's what you need to do. You need to feed them and give them drink and send them on their way. Many of those, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Many, many times we want to take things into our hands after God has already made a way now. He's already opened up a door of opportunity. He's already given us victory. And then we want to get even. It's not our place to get even. Amen. God has put such love and grace and mercy into our lives. We need to understand that we need to love others as God has loved us. I'm not talking about loving Satan. I'm talking about loving the people that spitefully use you, that say all manner of things against you, those that come against you in a very a negative way or a negative tone. Pray for them. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to help them and to cause them to turn from their wickedness and from their wicked ways. So the king does exactly what Elisha says. He feeds them. He gives them drink. And then he sends them on their way. And the Bible tells us that the king of Syria and his army bothered them no more. In other words, they went after somebody else. Amen. I'm remembering a story where Jesus came across the sea to the land of Gennesaret. And when he came out on the coast, this man came running out of the tombs. He was vexed with an evil spirit. The Bible says he was demon-possessed. And he ran up to Jesus and said, you know, basically, what would you do with me? Or what have I have to do with you? And Jesus cast out those demon spirits. They had to go somewhere. And the Bible says they went into a herd of swine and they ran violently down the hill and were choked in the sea. Listen, when God gets rid of our enemy, he sends them on the way. Amen. Glory to God. What faith that is for the prophet Elisha. So basically, if God has answered a prayer for you, don't let Satan steal it. Don't let Satan steal your victory. Don't let Satan come and tell you that didn't really happen. Case in point, if God has just healed your body and you claim that, and the first thing you feel that little ache or pain where Satan is coming against you, and the first thing he says is, God didn't really do that. God didn't really heal you. Here that is coming back in your life. Rebuke it right then. Rebuke it right then. Amen. And take back your miracle. It's mine. God did this for me, and I receive it in the name of Jesus by faith, declaring it done. Amen. God will honor that and God will reward you time and time again. Many, many times we do not see the evidence when God first performs a miracle. I've spoken to you on times before how that my mother was able to claim my brother's healing when the evidence was not there. He had a bad broken arm and she kept praying for God to heal it and straighten it out. The doctor said it would never be straight, but she kept praying, she kept praying. She stood up in the churches and told them, I testify now that God has healed my son, and the arm was still crooked, until one day she looked out and his arm was made perfectly straight. God may not do it in the time span that you and I think he's going to do it, but don't give up on it. Call it done. Maybe there's some out there today that's listening in by live stream, and you've been battling. You've been fighting with a situation in your life, and every time you think it gets a little bit better, something else comes and pulls the rug out from under you, and there you are laying flat again and saying, Lord, where are you? My message to you this morning is take back your miracle. Take back that thing that God has blessed you with. Take back that open door that God has given you. Don't let that door close. Keep that faith, that door by faith open. And understand that God will keep us. God will take care of us through whatever we face, through whatever circumstance or problems come in our life. And especially the day and hour that you and I are living in now. Because this is the excellent opportunity to live and operate by faith. Because we can't see that things are getting any better. We can't see the evidence, but that should never discourage us. Because when things look impossible, and the Bible says the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. God wants to fix this. God will fix this if we release our faith unto Him. Amen. And take up that miracle. Take up that blessing. Take up that anointing. It's yours. It would customize perfectly just for you. God made it and formed and fashioned it just for you. May God bless you today. We love you so very much. We miss you. Thank God for those who have come today. We appreciate you being here. But we miss so many of our folks that are out. And hopefully by the end of the month, things will be back to normal so we can open up the church doors again. Once again, have corporate worship. I love you, and I'm praying for you, even though I don't see you here. In my eyes and in my spiritual eyes, I can almost see you there. And I thank you for your support. I thank you for your love. And we're praying that God would just reach into every home this morning, touch you and anoint you and bless you. Would you pray with us? There at home, would you pray with us? Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just come to love you and to thank you, God, for your blessings. God, we know, Lord, that you can reach there in the homes, the living rooms of those, God, who are suffering this morning, those who are brokenhearted, those who are facing gigantic situations in their life. God, many are perplexed, many are discouraged, and I pray right now that your healing power would lift them up and encourage them and bless them. Reach out to those in the hospitals, Lord, those who are sick, those who are infected with this virus. God, I pray, Lord, that you would break those chains of sickness and affliction right now, even as we pray. We know that you're a miracle-performing God. And even though we may not see the effects, that doesn't encourage us not to have faith, but encourages us more to put our faith and trust in you. Have your will and your way throughout this day. Bless each and every one, those on the airwaves, those in our nation, those, God, who are taking care of the sick and afflicted. I ask, God, for protection for them. And we'll just give you all the praise. We give you all the honor and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. May God bless you. We love you from First Pentecostal Church.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I hear the chains falling. chains falling. I hear the chains falling. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.